cliffcentral.com.
Ah, yes. Halala. Halala, everyone, halala. What's happening, baby? Are we ready for Wednesday? It's all happening whether you like it or not. 29th of June. Only one day left of this month. Is that right? Or is it 31? No, just one. Friday is the 1st. Yeah. Ooh, shim. All right. Okay, so how's everybody doing? I'm sorry I wasn't here yesterday. I had I woke up with just a headache. It wasn't a life or death migraine. I heard you dramatizing the whole thing, but it wasn't nearly as bad as that. It was just a headache, and I thought, you know what? I don't have to try and push through the day and be a martyr. But I also am allowed to take a day off, so I just did. And I felt much better by about 10, 11 o'clock.
Oh.
Oh. What does that mean, Ben?
We didn't dramatize it. We just assumed it was a migraine because we know that you have that problem.
I get them every now and then.
Yeah.
But this was not one of those occasions. Thank goodness. Those are horrible. Those are really debilitating. You can't. Even if you want to do things, you can't. You know, with a headache, you can still push through the day. You take one or two headache tablets and you make it. Migraine, not so easy. Anyway. So what did I miss?
Anything so much.
What I need to catch up on?
So much. I don't know where to start, Gareth. You got to go on to cliffcentral.com, find the podcast, download it to your device.
Right.
And get through it like that.
Use the app if you can't go to our website, or for some reason you don't want to, or maybe you prefer, you know, checking us out on your laptop or your desktop. Most people, the app is the best way to go for that. You can also get all the cliffcentral.com stuff on WeChat. So, a few things that are worth mentioning this morning, because there's quite a lot in the news. I seem to have missed out on the controversy around the resignation of Jimmy Matthews from the SABC yesterday.
Yeah.
Because it happened the day before, but I think a lot of people only digested it during the course of yesterday. And Tebow Touch is also out of Metro. I mean, it feels to me like the SABC is falling apart. And now instead of people saying, so, you know, why did you leave Five? Now they're saying to me, how did you know? And I'm like, no, I didn't really. I had no idea. But I think anyone could have predicted that someone like Cloudy at the top is bound to lead to chaos. Right?
Chaos and, alternative galaxies. That's where he lives.
Madness.
Because there's no reality left there.
No. I don't think there ever was in that head.
There were also a couple of people who were saying it's too little too late for Jimmy Matthews to have developed a conscience, because for so long he basically allowed Cloudy to run that organization, even though technically he was the guy in charge. And well, so some people are saying, now you have a moral fiber within you, Jimmy. Too little, too late.
You know, again, there's so many people in this country who just don't have courage. And maybe he's one of them, maybe he isn't. I don't know. But there's so many people in this country who just want to hold on to their jobs, so they put up with shit. You know?
Yep.
People just put up with shit because they need the paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of brave people are prepared to say, you know, my principles, my own... the courage of my convictions, those are the things I'm going to choose to go with. Because that's a dark, dangerous, poverty-stricken path for a lot of people. But much more important than that, Ben's dad is stuck in Turkey.
Yeah.
Listen to this.
Yeah, so he literally got into the airport last night, got into the area where passport control is, and then he just heard screaming, gunfire, explosions, all that kind of stuff. And he managed to phone my mom, and I spoke to her last night, and she said while they were talking, you could just hear gunfire in the background.
Jesus.
So he was really close to that terror attack, and he's now stuck in Turkey. Obviously, the airport goes into lockdown.
Yeah.
And he was then stuck in this little area for like half an hour. They just like lie on the floor, and then he was sort of ushered out, and he's going back to a hotel now. He said he walked past the scene where this thing happened, and he said it was just the most like harrowing experience, seeing all this blood, all the carnage, and I think it's 36 people dead now.
Mm.
So I don't know. We might be able to talk to him sometime this morning, but
well, if not
I don't
today,
think he's had much sleep or anything.
If not today, we'll talk to him tomorrow, maybe. You know, let's see how he feels. I don't want us to wake him up if he's finally asleep after spending like 24 hours awake. It's just, you know, this whole militant Islam terror bullshit thing seems to be getting closer and closer to home, no matter how hard we try to move away from it or ignore it or, well, I don't think we've ignored it on this show, ever. I think we've been very wide awake to this, but now it's starting to come closer and closer to where we are.
I read this morning that ISIS is claiming responsibility, but nowadays you never know because anything like catastrophic that happens, they'll quickly jump on and claim responsibility.
Yeah. They're just glory-seeking dickheads all along.
Yeah, but you imagine if your dad had been a little closer to the action, Ben?
A little bit later into the airport, exactly.
Exactly. Then, you know, then this wouldn't just be him having witnessed it. It would have been Ben saying, guys, I can't come in today. Something horrible's happened. I mean, can you imagine?
Mm. Yeah, it's...
And that would make me really fucking angry. You know, not that I don't feel bad about the people who have died, but when you know someone involved in this stuff, when you know someone who's going about their life, they're visiting Europe, they're flying on Turkish Airlines, that's the only reason they have to be in fucking Istanbul. Nobody's going there because they give a shit about your religion, what you think of this, what you think of that, how you feel about this, how you feel about that, but you're now going to make your problems theirs, like Mabali always says. Not allowed. You are not on this earth to make your problems spill over into other people's lives. Full stop. Doesn't matter what kind of background, what kind of thoughts, ideas, beliefs, or anything else you have. You're not allowed to do that. Does not come into being a civilized human being. Ever. Oh, it makes me so angry. All right, other stuff that's happening. I saw there was some pastor at a church. Did you hear about this?
Sorry, I heard about the story, but I haven't heard what the pastor said.
Let me see what I can... Here's the actual audio. Listen to this quickly. I want us to listen to this and just figure out what we think of it. Because I'm not sure what... I don't know how to make head or tail of this right now. So let's just listen. All right, this is from News 24. Let's give them credit.
God, if you're black, God will send you white people. Don't say South Africa. The problem in South Africa is the white people. No, we're not. We've contributed to this nation and we still do. And if you want to know why white people have still got money, it's because they work. So don't drive them away. They can speak into your life. Now don't get too stressed. If you're white, God will send you black people. Why have black people come and speak to me? Because God will use people that are unlike you to do something in you. Don't push them away. Let them be the voice of God to you.
All right, so that's the part that apparently caused all the offense. So he's saying to white people, you need black people, and to black people, you need white people. Can anyone tell me why this is controversial?
Because the word black was used, Gareth.
But I'm sure that pastors and preachers and people all over the place, I'm sure they refer to black and white people. We don't just pretend it doesn't exist. Anybody want to have a go at why this is controversial?
Because it's almost impossible to have conversations about race in our country. It gets everyone sensitive and uncomfortable.
I mean, I look at the comments here. This pastor is clearly racist. How?
Maybe it's because he implied that white people work harder than black people. That's why they still have their money.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, that's just an opinion, is it? Isn't it? I mean, if that's an opinion, should we be taking him so seriously? Again, how do we let these people who have crazy ideas, or even people who have just slightly left of center ideas, how do we let them become so important to us if we disagree with them? Must everyone agree with you? Is that what we need? So if everyone agreed with everyone, we wouldn't have any... Well, we'd have nothing to talk about, by the way. But let's listen to the rest, see if there's any more.
And the black people barely clapped at that point. You all okay this morning? I must say, I get very annoyed when I watch television and I see people saying the whites are the problem in the country. No, we're not. No, we're not. We've helped build this nation. We took nothing from no one. Maybe the law favored us, but we worked. And I'm still working. And when you tell me I need to share my wealth, what are you suggesting? Let me just take a moment here. What are you suggesting? Are you suggesting I give away some of it? Are you giving any of yours away? Excuse me? Let's get back to the message.
All right, so now I understand. It's probably to do with the fact that white people didn't take anything from anyone. That's the line that would have upset most people. Because we've got a narrative, too, that plays into everything in this country, that what happened was, you know, these evil white people arrived and they took everything from black people, which is true. I don't think that's up for dispute. I don't think this pastor is a historian, so I don't think he necessarily has read the history books as well as he might have. But yeah, white people did take stuff away from blacks. It's called the land. And it wasn't individual white people who went around just grabbing land, because I don't know any white person. I don't know if you've met one. I don't know any white person who's ever been given land by anyone. It may have happened 400 years ago, may have happened even 100 years ago, but I don't know anybody, and I can check in my family records, going all the way back to the first one I can find, he had to buy what he got. So it didn't just get given to him. The people who took the land were the government of the time, as governments do, just like they're taking land from people now. And the government sits with most of the land. You know that, right?
Yep.
So if they just gave out that land, and if tribal chiefs just gave out their land, then people would have land. And then who would we complain about? I mean, this is something that just... So this is a pastor. He lives down the road here in Johannesburg. He runs a church. People go to his church. For better or for worse, you know I have no love for religious leaders. This guy's talking about something that we need to talk about. He may have a point of view that a lot of black people or white people disagree with. So interrogate it. Talk to him about it. Now we're just going to label him a racist and shut down the discussion. It doesn't suit us. Look, we've got to start talking like adults about this stuff. And if this guy's talking shit, then say to him, come, let's debate. I've got better evidence than you. Here's the fact, dude. The land was taken away from black people. And it was taken away by white people. But here's how it worked. And maybe we can all learn from this. And get the experts in. And speak to people who know what happened there and then. And maybe we can all learn, and then we'll understand. And we don't have this, like, monkey on our backs saying, you know, the everything's... There's no solution here, because it's just... There's racism going both ways. That's not going to help anybody. I hear about this and I think, why is there such a storm in a teacup from one person's comments? First of all, why is that person's comment so important that everybody's responding? And second of all, how do we let ourselves get so riled up by stuff like this? It's either part of history or it isn't. If it actually happened that way, then we all need to accept it and move on. Because I think half of our problem is that we still don't know what's true. There are 2, 3, maybe 25 different narratives in this country of how the history of this country happened, of what was there before, of what was thereafter, of what happened when Jan van Riebeek landed here, of what's happened since then. And we're all living according to our version. When we hear someone else's version, we lose our shit. We're like, no, it can't be true. And actually, nobody's really paying attention to the truth. No one's reading the history. We just accept whatever version suits our narrative. So if Jan van Riebeek and his people from Holland arrived here on their ships and they came into the Cape and they just brutally mowed down everyone in their way, they built a big building called the Castle, started raping the local population, making colored people. And ever since then, it's just been a history of brutality. Well, that's absolutely, you know, the point of view of some scholars. And they've got to sit in rooms and write history textbooks about this. But no one's reading those textbooks except at school where they have to. How interested are you really in South African history? Because if you want to have an opinion right now, you have to have some interest in it.
It's a really interesting history. It's something you should all learn. Like, I'm fascinated. I keep learning things about it. And there's various ways you can do it as well. It's not like it's difficult. There's museums. There's the internet. There's people.
And I think that the more we know about our own past, like where we come from, who our people actually are, like who are your people? I mean, I still don't know. I've done a lot of research into this, and I still don't know exactly who my people are. But I can account for all the ones in South Africa. I know who pretty much all of them are. I can tell you when each one of them first came here and what they did since. I can tell you where they buried. I can tell you what they built. I can tell you what they owned and what they didn't. You can look this stuff up. If you're really interested, you can find this stuff. It's in the archives. But you've got to do some of the work. You can't just accept blindly that the history of the whole nation is the history of you. It's not true. There are a lot of people in this country with very interesting family history, where sometimes they have a black and a white ancestor. And they don't look colored, in inverted commas. They look like black people or like white people. Somewhere in the tree, they've got a white or a black ancestor. Now, whose history do they have a piece of? Both those people, right?
Sure.
So what the hell are we actually fighting about?
But you know,
and a pastor like this gets up and he's just trying to get people to listen to Jesus. And he brings race into this. And I'm not going to stand up for this guy because I don't think, you know, I don't think pastors are experts in anything. I don't think any religious leader is an expert in anything. But in this case, why are we getting so upset about some pastor? Don't go to his church if you don't like him.
Because it's a reflection of how people really feel about each other in this country.
Well, then he's right. And that's even more scary.
Yeah, well, but that's our reality, you know. If you're a black person in this country, then you think all white people are racist. And if you're a white person in this country, you think the problem with the country is that a black government took over. I mean, this is how people feel about each other.
Well, I mean, again, personally, and I, you know, I believe in the individual. I don't think that the problem in this country is we've got a black government. I don't think that's the problem at all. No matter who I vote for in the next election, I'm voting for a black person, right? And if they constituted a government around them of black people, I wouldn't have a problem with that. 80% of the population's black. That's just realistic. And I do think that most people, you're absolutely right, Mubs, most people have this myopic view of what the other race is doing and what the other race is thinking. And we don't appreciate each other as individuals because that's too much work. It's much easier to just box someone.
Mm.
You know, it's like boxing them because they're gay or boxing them because they're a woman or any of those other stupid reasons to just box someone. If you really respect somebody, shouldn't you look them in the eyes as an individual? You know, what I like about that person, she's got character. She's got a sense of humor. She's really smart. You can't say that about a whole race of people. You can't say, that race has character. That race is smart. That race is beautiful. Because there are ugly people in there who have no character and who are not particularly intelligent in all races. So suddenly, if you treat people like individuals, respect is almost automatic. And then we don't have shit. And you've got to untrain your mind from being a gibbon. Whether you're white or black, you've got to stop, switch off that part of your mind that is a pattern-seeking, survival-based, mammalian primate approach. Monkey see, monkey do. We've all got to switch it off.
But you know, it's quite a global thing now, Gareth. You're seeing on the back of this whole Brexit thing, you get these really ignorant common people in England who now think because they voted out
that means they can chase out immigrants.
So, I mean, like, again, it's just no understanding of history. Like, I saw a thing on the news this morning about these Polish people. They've got a Polish institute in London and how it's just been ruined with graffiti, like, get out, you dirty immigrants. Meanwhile, it was the Poles who fought with the British against the Nazis. They've been in that country since the 50s.
But Ben, that would mean you'd have to read a history book or two.
Exactly. And then you see videos of these
people. Too much work.
Of these people walking around, mouthing off to people who they think shouldn't be there. It's like, get out of our country. It's like, I was born here. Like, what do you want?
Supernova says, morning, Gareth. Not sure if you heard the audio of the KZN guesthouse rant. Now, there's another fucking lunatic.
Oh, okay.
Some guy has shut down his restaurant. He uses the Bible as a reason to be racist. Mm-hmm. Tyrell says, what is an Indian meant to feel like? Lol.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, you always bring this up that we ignore.
Black people, white people, we need to get over ourselves.
Yeah, because there are others who we never refer to.
It's not always about us.
Jared said, history is always written by the victor. No one ever writes about the war they lost. Well, that's not true. I'm listening to the most fascinating podcast at the moment about the Persian Wars. Now, I don't have any side to choose. There's Greek civilization and there's Persian civilization. I suppose we've inherited a lot from both. So I can afford to be objective. But a good historian actually does go and observe evidence from both sides. And it doesn't matter who won, because you can still go and dig up artifacts on the battlefield. You can read both sides. Because the Persians could write and the Greeks could write. So you can see what Herodotus says, and you can see what Xenophon says, and then you can read what is written on cuneiform tablets and on walls in Persia about what Darius the First and Cyrus the Great and all of these people did, and what they stood for and what they said. And in the mix, you get a real feel of history. I agree with you that it's subjective, but there is such a thing as truth. Like, we know there was a battle of Marathon, for example. And we know there was a battle.
It's been a very long battle.
The word Marathon comes from the fact that Pheidippides ran to alert the Spartans that the Persians were coming. And he ran a marathon. And that distance is still the distance of a marathon today, which is why it's such a strange number. But that's history, right?
Exactly.
Now, if you don't care about that stuff, you can't really say that you are entitled to a fully informed opinion about things. And the same goes for us here in this country. So history is written by the victor, Jared, but there is another history if you just dig deep enough. And I think finally we're starting to hear the stories. Like, I had the most fascinating discussion the other day with Muzi Kozwayo, who's Zulu. And he was telling me the story of the murder of Piet Retief, my ancestor, and his compatriots by King Dingaan. And he told me the story from the side of King Dingaan and his people. A story that was never written into my history textbooks. And you live and learn. And somewhere in between the story Muzi told me and the story my textbooks told me is the truth. But those men are still buried up on a hill at Kwamatiwan in KwaZulu-Natal. And I think that that's part of the color of this country. These people fought each other to the death. They're dead. It's a great story. It's our story. And I'm not looking at the story so I can take sides or I can wreak vengeance upon the people who killed my ancestor. None of that shit. I'm interested in that blood that they spilled is in the soil of this country. I'm proud of that. My ancestors and the people they fought are part of my history. I love that. Makes me more interesting. Makes everything about the history of this country more interesting. That's why I study this stuff. Greg says, I thought that's how us coloreds came about. You're changing lives here, Gareth. Ha, ha, ha. Kevin says, people using the Get Offended app. Thanks, Ben. You told them about the Get Offended app?
Yeah, I played that yesterday.
Lynn says, it's the comment about whites work hard. It's kind of arrogant and ignorant considering the history of the country, i.e. whites didn't allow blacks to accumulate wealth. Well, that's true, but, you know, the pastor has his take on things. Lindsay says, another night, another suicide bomber. Bastards. Yet another day of walking into the office and hoping we had no passengers at the airport in Turkey last night. Sure, Lindsay. Yeah, I hope so, too. But we'll try and get hold of Ben's dad later on. He was in the airport, and he saw the whole thing. Luckily, he's okay. But, wow. Could have happened to anybody.
Three suicide bombers, apparently.
Yeah. Sure. Awful. Anyway, look, I'd love to carry on talking about this, but we got to get to sport. There are priorities, people. Mm-hmm. We got things to do.
Choice. Sometimes you have it, and sometimes you don't. AutoTrader gives you the choice. Now you can shop, compare, and buy new cars. Watch our expert video reviews and research before you buy. AutoTrader New Car. The choice is yours.
All right, Ben, what do you got?
37 days now until the Rio Olympics. And if you are to arrive in Rio at the moment, whether you want to get some early prep or you're just a visitor, you'll be met with banners saying, "Welcome to hell." It's because the police and the firefighters aren't getting paid.
Oh,
so
shit.
They're literally standing at the airport saying, "Police and firefighters aren't getting paid, so when you come here into Rio, no one is here to protect you if anything goes wrong.
Enter at your own risk."
Pretty much, that's what they're doing. That is the welcoming committee that you'll be met with. So there's big, sorry guys, can you turn that down just a little bit?
What, the music?
Yeah.
Sure.
It's very picky. Yeah.
Well, it's very loud.
You know what, I managed to get some feedback out of my dad for you, Ben.
Oh, very good.
You've got to tell Ben, that sport of his is absolutely first class.
Oh, thank you very much.
So, if nobody else thinks that you're fantastic and your music shouldn't be at exactly the right volume, my dad does.
So, what it breaks down to, again, like I am still trying to find really good stories for you about Brazil, but what it comes down to is that civil servants and these kind of people, they can't even operate because there's no toilet paper in the police station. There's no basic fuel costs, so they can't even drive patrols. There's no money to actually push their cars around. They're waiting for like an $860 million cash injection to mean that all the basic services can work. This is how screwed this whole thing is. It really is. Oh, it's so frustrating to read these stories.
What a mess.
Because I think a lot of the stuff is obviously being sheltered by the local government as well. But some of them, like I said yesterday, they're just coming out and saying, "Nah, this is crap. This is going to be an absolute disaster. Don't even bother coming." And that is coming from like governors of Rio.
And by the way, this is the Olympics. This is not some, track meet between three or four schools.
Yeah, exactly. Other Olympic news, the world's number one golfer Jason Day has pulled out. He's also gone for this whole "I care about my family" chestnut. But like all these golfers, right, have you heard anyone else pulling out of the Olympics because of Zika fears? You haven't heard like high jumpers suddenly go, "Oh, I can't." Or you haven't heard rowers or equestrian people who have physically, there's horses involved there. None of them are saying, "Oh yeah, I don't think I can do this." Why don't golfers just be honest and say, "You know what, I couldn't be asked. There's nothing really about this I want to do. I'm going to stay in the Bahamas that week." Or, like, we all know Rio is probably one of the worst airports in the world, so you can't, like, land your private jet. Say that. Don't come with a Zika crap, because people are doing what they can. It's insulting to the people who live in the area as well to say, "Oh, I care about my family. I want to have more children." No one cares about your family and the fact that you're just breeding. All these golfers are having, like, 3-4 kids. Just say why you don't want to go. "I just don't want to go because my jet can't land there. I don't want to go because that Olympic village looks common." Just be honest.
Or I'm just really scared of your Zika virus and I don't think the thing is organized. But be honest, right?
But exactly, Gareth. They're all playing the Zika card. But like, I don't think it doesn't seem right because no one else is playing it. There's no other sport. No, not one single other sport in the Olympics. They've gone, I'm a little bit worried. Like there's a Jamaican sprinter who's apparently got the Zika virus. He's going to trials this week. He wants the Olympic gold. Now, there's just elements of dedication here, because the more these golfers study this whole Olympic thing, the worse it gets, and they're already complete in the toilet. It's just not fair. Anyway, onto football. Tonight we'll see Mamelodi Sundowns take on Enyimba from Nigeria. Now, they're in the CAF Champions League. We always kind of forget about this because the Euros are happening and Copa America has been happening, but Sundowns are still in the hunt for the biggest thing in Africa. Mm-hmm. They had a win already in the group, and of course the other one, other team had an eligible player or something like that, so Sundowns came in on the back of that. So if you were looking for some local football action tonight, Sundowns versus Enyimba, that will be at the Lucas Moripe Stadium at 7 p.m. SA time. In other football news, England are, they're still coming to grips with the fact that they're a bunch of losers. And the press obviously are loving the fact that they've lost again. See, this is the whole difficult thing about being English, right? You want your team to win, but at the same time, you also want to laugh at them. So they really are just stuck in the middle. It must be so difficult to be English. Really must be. But tomorrow we get back in action with the quarterfinals. Poland versus Portugal will be our first quarterfinal. I'll give you more about that tomorrow. In rugby, the Olympic Sevens team, not pulling out because of Zika threats, they're in Pool B. They've been seeded second in the tournament, So they will have SA, Australia, France, and Spain. Pool A sees top seeds Fiji. They won the World Champs this last year. Fiji will take on USA, Argentina, and host Brazil in Pool A. And then Pool C will see New Zealand, Great Britain, Kenya, and Japan. So two things to look out for there. Obviously, Great Britain in the Olympics. There's no England, there's no Scotland, there's no Wales. It's Great Britain. And Spain, where the hell do they come from? Well, and also, where's Samoa? Spain beats Samoa. Like, Samoa won one of the HSBC tournaments recently, but they can't qualify for the Olympics. So Spain are there, and they'll be in SS group. Samoa's lost. Big, big shame, that one. Other big shame in rugby right now is that Warren Whiteley is out for the rest of the Super Rugby season. He injured his shoulder. So when he was going, okay, now Warren Whiteley, of course, captain of the Lions. Lions, SA's only chance at Super Rugby. They've got a month to go. It's crunch time, really, over the next 4 to 6 weeks because you've got the playoffs and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So Whiteley's out for the rest of the Super Rugby season. But you've got to ask the question. I'm sure Johan Ackerman, the Lions coach, is asking this. How fit was he for that last Reebok match? He had a shoulder niggle. It was definitely a concern, but you know, sometimes these players, they just push through. They tape it up, there's a cataplasm involved, and then they just run an adrenaline for 80 minutes. And then the next morning they wake up and they can't move. So you've got to think, like, as much as you want to play for the Springboks, that's the pinnacle, and everyone is everyone's goal, no doubt. But you got to always ask the question, how worth it? Sorry, how much... use English. Was it really worth playing that third test? In that now your Super Rugby season's done. The Lions, you know, he is the Lions. He's led this team from nothing to something.
And now he's gone
in the best possible position. So that must be so, so heartbreaking for a coach like Johan Ackerman. You've done everything you can to get your players into position where they are now. They come back from a bot camp, they're battered, bruised, and they can't really play anymore.
No. Disaster.
Very, very sad news for Lions fans. In the tennis, Murray and Wawrinka are through. No worries there. Same with Serena Williams, but Caroline Wozniacki, she's out.
Who?
Wozniacki.
Now, I watched Kuznetsova, I think she was. Who was playing yesterday?
Lots of people.
I think Kuznetsova. I heard her because I was... I had the TV on and she goes... I think we need to do another compilation of different... sounding women on the tennis court.
You've
got
to have your own brand of grunt, otherwise it's like, oh, the Sharapova's like, oh no way, it's Kuznetsova. So you've got
this
to have
one
your
goes,
own. It's more laboratorial than anything else. But yeah, you have to have your own grunt, and you have your own pitch, and only then can you really make as a female tennis player.
Yeah, because Azarenka, when she started out, it was, woo!
Yeah, she's the one who sounds like a fairy dying.
But
right?
It's changed over time. You see, that's another thing is you've got to keep upgrading your grunt.
Yeah.
Damn.
We should actually have an app to identify your female tennis player. So, yeah, Wozniacki, she's one of the big first kind of seeds to drop out. Today, however, we'll see Novak Djokovic take on someone. You know those first round fodder.
Ben, come someone. On.
Mops, I can't do it all, okay? No. He's taking on someone on center court.
Ben really doesn't care if it's some Eastern European name he can't pronounce. He just leaves it out.
Gosh. Well, look, I say it today, we forget it tomorrow. So Djokovic will be in action. If this guy beats Djokovic, you know what? I'll give him 5 minutes tomorrow. How about that? Is that fair?
Fair enough.
So Djokovic, along with all the other tennis players, I saw a story today of how they all steal the towels. These guys are multi-million dollar celebrities, billionaires, but they can't go to the gift shop and buy extra towels for £35. They always take more. Because it's one of the most prized memorabilia items in the world, a towel from Wimbledon. The people who make these towels used to make the towels for the royal family. So if the queen can wipe her ass with this after a good sweat down in a shiatsu, then I'm sure you could basically use one as well. So that's one of the things to look out for, is how these guys shove the towels into their bags, because they've always got requests from family and friends. But the big story today, Mubs, and this is involving a small person, is Marcus Willis. You know, we had the big story about him yesterday.
Cartman.
Yeah, so Cartman is taking on Federer in center court. So Gareth, this guy, he's made $60, I think £60 in his professional career this year. He made $50,000 for winning the first round match, and his second round match is against Federer on center court. This is like that movie Wimbledon all over again. It's just your quintessential British love story. It's like everything rolled into a Wimbledon center court, and that'll take place this evening. It'll be the last match on center court scheduled for today. Bit of a horrible story from Wimbledon is that Kevin Anderson, as we know, he fell out after 5 sets. That's SA's only real contender. And he got a whole bunch of death threats. So people were betting on him. Kevin said he didn't produce the goods. He lost in the 5-set match to an Eastern European guy. And yeah, death threats just came piling in. Obviously, people are putting thousands on this guy. He doesn't come through. But if you're going to bet, you bet because you know you're going to lose. Just grow up. Leave poor Kevin alone. It's like he wanted to lose.
Yeah.
Dickheads.
Give him a chance.
In cricket, Kakiso Rabada, he makes it into the top 10 of the ICC bowlers in the world. Now, this guy is probably the greatest story of SA cricket for the last, long, long time. So he is now ranked 7th in the world, and at 3 places behind the best SA player, which is Imran Tahir. He is 4th, and he's the greatest spin bowler that SA has ever seen. This guy, he might be quite long in the tooth, but he needs every single bit of, every single accolade that all the other players get. We always put so much like praise on Hashim Amla, AB de Villiers, but these bowlers, these guys are the guys actually holding this team together. If it wasn't for these two, Tahir and Rabada, they would really, really, really be terrible. Not just terrible like they are now, but really, 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 really terrible. AB de Villiers still holds on to the number one batting position, however, in the ICC world rankings. The Proteas, though, they've dropped down to 4th. Yeah.
Oh.
If you're not in the top 3 in cricket, don't bother. You know, it's just, I know there's like great talent and all this kind of stuff, but you know, the Proteas are a team that can play both home and away. So the fact that they're 4th in the ODIs is really, really worrying. This is a team that doesn't get bogged down by conditions like other teams do, and we are very good at home. So to go 4th in the rankings,
horrible.
That is a massive worry. But if you look in the press, no doubt there's all kinds of excuses and then other justifications for Russell Domingo still having a job. Like everyone resigns when they fail, right? I put a tweet out yesterday about Spot the Difference, about these people. David Cameron, lost, retired. Roy Hodgson, he lost, he retired, resigned. What does Domingo do? He's just laughing. He's sitting there going, I'm with my
hangs
friends.
In there, yeah.
This is cool. Yeah, so not a lot of optimism around cricket right now, but good on KG Rabada. He's now 7th in the world. This guy will go to the top, mark my words. He'll be number one ranked, and I look forward to bringing you that story in not too distant future. Gareth, that is pretty much it for the sports for your midweek. Big quarters start tomorrow for the Euro 2016. Poland versus Portugal will be a first one, 9 o'clock. Friday will be Wales versus Belgium. Saturday, Germany versus Italy. That is the big one for the round. And then Sunday, we'll see the last quarterfinal, France versus Iceland. Everyone's favorite, Iceland.
Yeah, they really have become the team to watch. Huh?
Yeah, if you missed out on that commentary, find yesterday's podcast of My Sport here on the show. We run you through the big highlights of the first goal, the second goal, and the final whistle.
Thank you, Ben. It's time for Anthea, the money shot. Work, 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 work. Very nice. Anthea, good morning.
Good morning, Gareth. Somebody's been working on putting those compilations together.
Yes. It was Innes who sent us that. So there we go.
Brilliant. Thank you,
Innes.
Got a lot
of fans. All right. So, Anthea, I was looking at yesterday's portfolio on my phone, and I saw lots of green.
Isn't that a pleasure?
Isn't it nice?
Very nice. The markets have restored a bit of calm, thank goodness. I mean, we followed global markets up basically 2% higher. I think there was also a bit of short covering going on. So, you know, traders don't only make money when shares are going up. They have the ability to short sell in the market. In other words, sell when they don't own the share.
Right.
And I think yesterday they were buying back these short positions because there's a lot of talk that Brexit might actually be delayed or they might have a second referendum and all this. And so if you're short the shares and the market does go back to where it was Thursday evening last week, kind of you'll lose money. Mm-hmm. So I think that could potentially have been pushing the market up, not really fundamental, but rather trading positions being covered.
Right.
I mean, there's no doubt Brexit has fundamentally changed the landscape for many companies. Their cost base will increase, the cost of capital will go up. The only question is by how much they will be impacted.
Well, it's just so hang on. This is a bit of correction going on. I mean, is that what it is, more than short selling?
That's actually a very good word. That's exactly it. It's a correction. But the question, of course, is how much of a correction do you expect? Because nobody knows what the right level is now.
Yeah.
So Investec was up about 6% yesterday. And if you were a holder of the share, then it was probably not a bad idea to sell your position because Investec definitely have a large exposure to the UK, you know, 40% of their revenue and cost base is there. And so if Brexit does go ahead, it will impact them. I mean, Capital and Counties only had a little 4% bounce. I'm not sure that's enough to make up for the over 30% loss that we had in 2 days. Unless, of course, you think that the UK property prices are going to get decimated over the next few months or years.
Mm.
Very difficult.
I would hold on to that, in other words.
For a little bit longer, at least, right? Until it gains a bit more, goes up a bit more.
Right.
And then local shares that weren't affected, you know, like Foschini Group was up 6% as well yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So they do have exposure, but not as big as kind of the Brits or the Capital and Counties, which is basically 100%.
All right.
The Rand's also had a bit of a recovery, 15.19 against the dollar, 15.15 this morning. It stayed strong against the pound, 20.30 yesterday, and then I see it's 20.21 this morning. And to the euro, 16.78, so well below 17 to the euro.
Okay, good.
Very nice for us. And then MTN was up 5% yesterday. Very odd. They announced that they have plans to start offering loans through their mobile banking division. I mean, it looks like they're going to deliver in Uganda first, where they have 10 million subscribers. But that kind of plays well into our speculation about the new CEO and about how, because he's from a banking background, and a couple of the other board members who also had financial backgrounds. So it could be that they're potentially changing or their strategy and perhaps diversifying their revenue stream, which could make for an interesting company or share, if you like.
Hmm. Okay.
And then Old Mutual was up close to 3.5%. They said they've already started unwinding their London office because of the planned breakup of the company. You know, we spoke about this. They're breaking and selling off the company into four different divisions. It was so funny. Yesterday they announced that they'd started their, in inverted commas, managed separation. Like, mm-hmm. I couldn't help but think of Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin's conscious uncoupling.
That's exactly what it is, right?
Exactly. I previously told you about Bruce Hemphill getting paid. It was in the region of like £9 million or something.
It was huge.
And he's only been with the company for a year and a half. And so basically he's getting paid a big bonus for breaking up a good old South African companies. And I think this, they've obviously listened to what shareholders have said, or shareholder objection, because they've actually said that they are now revising this big pay package of his. So a bit of shareholder activism going on there, which is quite nice to see. Mm. And then lastly, if you're looking to add to your portfolio, Gareth, I think there's an opportunity to buy some Pivotal Property Funds, which is a REIT, so a real estate investment trust.
All right.
They're developers of mostly office blocks. Their properties include some fairly central high-demand offices. So in Cape Town, they've got Bree Street. In Johannesburg, they've got Alice Lane in Sandton, which is the building that they've got there is occupied by Sanlam. They've got some in Hatfield. And normally, in a slowing economic environment and a rising interest rate, you wouldn't go for property shares because they do come under pressure because, you know, rentals are under pressure and cost of running them increases. But last week, Pivotal put out a cautionary announcement saying that they'd received a non-binding expression of interest. It's not a lot to go on. It's non-binding. They haven't said exactly what's going on.
What does that mean?
Exactly. So somebody is looking at them, basically.
To buy.
With covetous eyes, I guess.
Yeah.
And they haven't said any more than that. But I think Pivotal is a good target for a larger property company. So at this stage, a little bit speculative. The share has been under quite a bit of pressure lately. And in the last 3 days, it hasn't, you know, because of this Brexit talk, it kind of has come down a bit with the market. So I see potential upside here. So even if this bid doesn't go through, at least I still see a bit of upside to it. So the downside risk is low. That's what I'm trying to say.
All right. Well, let's go for it. What's the worst that can happen is we'll stay there and get our money back.
Exactly. So the share code is PIV, just in case you were buying some today. Good.
Well, I'm following your instructions. I missed out on the Sun International up because I didn't listen to you.
So you've learned your lesson.
Bad things happen because you don't listen to Anthea. Full stop, right?
Okay.
Thank you so much, Anthea.
My pleasure. Cool. Have a good day.
The Money Shot, Anthea Gardner, every morning at about the same time. We're going to get into news in a moment or two. There's lots of news to talk about. The rest of the day today is, as always, action-packed. Frankly Speaking with Rory and Andrew. Then Womandla with Pumi Mashiko. Then G-Man the Ad-Man, that's Grant Sitole. And it's post-Cannes week, so he's looking at the winners and losers from the south of France. He'll talk to the leadership of Studio 214, Melusi Chabalala, among others. Voila Euro Show between 12 and 1. Stefano and Vivian will catch you up on all the latest in the Euro Cup. And this will allow you to go into the streets, into the stadia of France, to get under the skin of what's really going on in the Euro Championship. Then Auto Central with Chad Luckoff and Vilmarie Jansen van Rensburg and George Meany. It's powered by Auto Trader. That's right. Gerda de Toy lost both her legs 2 years ago due to diabetes and feared her life was over, but now she's moved from a wheelchair to a motorbike. Can you believe that? Shows you. Nothing's impossible. And it's on a 4,000-kilometer mission of making kids without limbs feel mobile again. This team will review the 2016 VW Caddy 2.0 TDI Trendline today, and they'll obviously talk about this very inspiring story. The Worst Guys with Mark Mdluli and team. Bedside Manners Part 2, the second installment of the chat about sex, how it all goes down in the boudoir. They're actually calling it the boudoir. That's from the guys who want to talk about favorite positions, how long they're willing to wait for women to put out, all kinds of interesting things. The Worst Guys. Today, the Capital Wrap-Up with DJ Capital, and then Kelman on Cliff Central, as well as our podcast-only shows, Candid Business, which goes online this evening at 6 o'clock. That's, of course, with Ellis Myandu, and Wedding Central with Kali de Villiers and Dombi Nhlapo, Africa's first dedicated online wedding show, proudly brought to you by The Wedding Expo and Wedding Inspirations magazine. Isn't that cool? So much to talk about today. All right, we'll get into some more in a moment. I've got lots of messages I want to get to that people have been sending us on Twitter and Facebook and on WeChat. And by the way, we have got to talk about the Game of Thrones finale, which I watched yesterday. Oh,
sure, because we tried to cover it yesterday. Didn't do it very well.
Oh, wow.
No, we decided we weren't going to talk about it yesterday.
Yeah, but Gareth wants to do it, and it's kind of his show, Mubs.
Let's see what I don't want to break any rules that you've set. I don't want to upset any people.
No,
I don't want to do spoilers because people get very angry about that.
I just thought you had a rule that it has to be a full week has to pass before you talk. But, but let's break rules, Gareth. We're in the business of breaking rules.
All right, if anyone has a serious problem with me discussing Game of Thrones, then speak now or forever hold your peace.
We should just have an intro song. You hear this, you know a spoiler is about to come.
All right, when you hear the Game of Thrones theme music come on just now, then you know that's what we're going to be talking about. And if you don't like it, that's where you must stop listening.
Yeah. And true fans will actually want to listen.
Right.
Like, I don't really care, so I'll listen.
Exactly. Thank you very much. You will care when I tell you how great this episode was, Ben. Don't you? Oh, please. Really? That's so unnecessary. How rude.
My dad's ready to chat. So
is he?
We can start the news with him.
Okay, brilliant. Flex, so you get Ben's dad on. That'll be terrific. All right, good. I'm glad he's okay. We'll speak to Ben's dad in a short while. All right. Cliffcentral.com.